used to sing a long time ago, and after she was told not to sing anymore, I leave it aside, but several have asked about it in different places. So I'm using it for you, for a comfort and consolation to your hearts. The Lining of Silk. Because it is generally known. But I want to talk to you about the kingdom of God that has its great operation both in heaven and on earth. Particularly today, I'll be talking about that which concerns the earth primarily, as we will talk about the other later. In order to prepare your hearts for this, I'm going to read the 72nd Psalm. 72nd Psalm. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He will judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with justice. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the hills in righteousness. He will judge the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy, and will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee while the sun endureth, and so long as the moon throughout all generations. He will come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that watereth the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace, till the moon be no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall render tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all the kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he crieth, and the poor that hath no helper. He will have pity on the poor and the needy, and the souls of the needy he will save. He will redeem their soul from oppression and violence, and precious will their blood be in his sight. And they shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba, and the men shall pray for him continually. They shall bless him all the day long. There shall be abundance of grain in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass on the earth. His name shall endure forever, for the eon. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him happy. Blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. In this chapter, or psalm, we have a wonderful picture of what we have been accustomed to talking about, the millennial kingdom. We could spend many hours and weeks on this subject of the wonderful things that are in store for this earth. Last Sunday, I gave you somewhat of a dark picture of the conclusion of this eon, on down until this glorious eon takes place, the oncoming ages, the ages to come. And this age will end with great affliction, indignation, wrath, and all because of man's stubbornness, because of his lawlessness, because that he will not recognize God as God, but being proud, full of conceit, in his own ways, he'll go his own ways, as God has long since left him to go, until he will learn righteousness through the severe judgments of God. And so, beloved, without taking up any of your time further on that, I will say that the conclusion of the eon will be when Christ shall come in power and glory from the heavens as the great King of kings and Lord of lords to take over the government of the world, his power, and rule and reign. And so we find that when Christ comes, I'm going to outline it briefly, just that you may follow it through in your study by keeping these scriptures, or taking these scriptures and looking at them. When Christ comes, he first of all will be the great prophet to Israel. That has been promised long ago in Deuteronomy 18:15. He's the great prophet that Israel has looked for many, many centuries, and is still looking for him today. That's why they never could see Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem of Judea, because they never looked at those scriptures that told about his birth and lowliness of life and his ministry and how he must suffer and die for the sins of the world. That they did not see and would not look at. And that is one of the things that the Apostle Paul so strongly emphasized in his ministry, was that this Jesus must suffer according to the prophets. He must die, and he must be raised from the dead by the powerful operation of God and ascend on high. And for the sin of the world, that is remarkable as we trace out the many, many times that Paul pressed this teaching. And he pressed this from the very beginning of his ministry after the Lord called him. He will not only be a prophet to Israel, he will be a priest. A priest, as you find in Psalm 110:4 and in Hebrews 4:4. He will be a priest after the order of Melchizedek for the eon. One of the things that I just stopped briefly here to say, he's not a priest forever as we read it in our King James Bible. And so on, that destroys the whole plan of God, unless we see that God has a purpose of the eon, the ages, long periods of time having a beginning and an end. And when we apply eternal or everlasting to that, we have immediately confused the revelation God is making for our hearts. Now, Christ is going to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek for the the eon, that long thousand years reign here upon the earth. If he was a priest forever, then this thing of a priesthood would go on forever. And it's not going on forever. God never intended it to go on forever. And when we use forever in that, we are just crossing up God's revelation for our eyes. That's the importance of having a concordant translation that will give us the terminology in pure expression as God intended it. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek for the eon. And when the eon ends, the priesthood will be over. It has served its purpose and it's gone. It's just like I said about the churches. In Christendom today, they just wrap up everything usually in one church. The church universal. The great church. So the church. And you ask, well, what is that? And, well, it's the church. And there you are. And they do not see that this word church, ecclesia, is outcalled. And that God doesn't have one church. He has different churches. And he has a purpose in having those churches. They are for the future ministry that he has in plan down yonder in the ages to come. They are not just for today and then go on eternally. We take the church of God, for example. The church of God began on the day of Pentecost and is still running. And that won't last forever. God never intended it to. It's an outcalled, separated people through whom God will work to accomplish a certain purpose over yonder in the millennium and over in the last day. When that purpose is accomplished, it's gone. Doesn't believe it anymore. Pastor, I'm insisting on it being eternal and so on. It's just, you see, confusing matters again. Now then, the question of him being a priest is for the eon. And down through the millennial kingdom, this nation of Israel will fall under the order and regulations and the rule and the ordinances and so on of that priesthood that belongs to Israel under the Messiah, and they'll carry it out until the last Jew, till the last Israelite in God's purpose has been born and circumcised and baptized and brought into obedience to all of the ordinances and so on of that priesthood, then the priesthood's gone. Served his purpose. Don't need any law. It's just a schooling to lead mankind to a goal down yonder. Well, not to keep it going on all the time. During that priesthood time, and a lot of times I have people, they take me to task when I talk about the sacrifices that will go on down through the millennial kingdom. They'll be sacrifices right on through there for 1,000 years. They say, well, why is he going to sacrifice when Christ has already paid the big sacrifice, the great sacrifice? Why, certainly, I recognize that. But there are no lamb sacrifice down through there. No lamb sacrifice. The lamb has already been sacrificed. And from the time that the lamb was sacrificed, remember that Israel has never sacrificed another lamb from that day down to the present time. And they never will. Why? It's already done. It's finished. Fulfilled. But there are other sacrifices besides the lamb, and they are carried out down through that. They belong to operate for God's great purpose that he must work out and accomplish. That all must be taken up according to Moses and the prophets and be carried through. He'll not only be a priest. As we heard of Melchizedek, he'll be the Messiah to Israel. As we read in John 1, 41 and 49. Also in John 4, 25. And in as the Messiah to Israel, he is their great ruler. And then he will be King of kings and Lord of lords to all the nations. As we read in Psalm 72, 1 to 19, that I read to you this morning, and also in Revelation 19, 16, King of kings and Lord of lords, all will be subject unto him in that day. The important thing for us to see is that this thing we call kings and rulers among the nations today, that we know of since Nebuchadnezzar's day. Since Nebuchadnezzar's day, back yonder, kings, the rule has been into the hands of the Gentiles. Their kings have been great, honorable, and glorious in the earth. Right on down to the present time, and there will be more of them than our day, these kings. But when the Lord comes and sets up his kingdom here upon earth, that's the end of Gentile kings. They become subject unto him. They become servants unto him in that day. No more Gentile kings. Their time is over with. Then God has another order. Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords to all the nations of the earth. Not only that, but we come to another phase of that millennial kingdom over there. David. David is going to be resurrected, as will be all of those who died in faith from Abraham on down, who will go into the kingdom there and enjoy its blessing. But here is the thought that I want to present for your heart at this time. David is the only one of those who have died in the faith that will come up and have authority and jurisdiction and rule in the age to come. Now we have often read this, where the Lord said that it's none greater than John the Baptist, born of woman, but the least in the kingdom of the heavens will be greater than John the Baptist. Why? John the Baptist will be over there in the kingdom, but he won't have any authority, he won't have any rule. He's just over there enjoying the blessing. He's already fulfilled his program. He's fulfilled his course. He has already carried it out. And he'll be over there enjoying it with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They say they come from the east and sit down in the kingdom. East and the west, and sit down in the kingdom of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, they will enjoy the blessing of it. They have served their time, place. They have fulfilled their mission. And now then, over there, they enjoy the blessing. But David is going to be raised, and he is going to be king. He will be king and shepherd and prince to Israel. He'll be all of those things again, as you read in Ezekiel 34, 23 and 24, and Ezekiel 37, 24 and 25, and 46. You'll find where David will be king to Israel. He will be a prince to Israel, and he'll be a shepherd over them during the millennial kingdom. That's the nation of Israel. Now then, while I'm on that, I may call your mind that it's in the minds of most of us, I'm sure. I've had it, and so on, that Christ will be sitting over there in Jerusalem on David's throne. That is not borne out by the Scriptures. Christ is coming down and sit upon the throne of his glory and execute his judgment and put everything in its place and order. But he's still going to be seated, John did, at the right hand of God the Father, up above every sovereignty, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that's named, until he's completed the whole universe. David will be sitting on the throne here. Christ will be ruling through David, yes, to the kings of the earth and all. He is, but he's ruling from that place, not down here. And that's why that he said in John 1, 44, he said, you shall see heaven set open, and the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Mankind. Why, yes. The angels will be carrying his edicts down here to David and out through the 12 disciples and the 144,000 and the various others that have their adjudication in the world. They'll be carrying it down and it'll be carried out through. But David will be sitting on the throne over there, and he'll be sitting on the throne that belongs to his son, reigning in cooperation with him. It's a co-reign during that time. David is carrying out the earthly side while Christ is carrying out the heavenly phase of the great purpose of the ages which God made in him. So we find that David will be king to Israel, prince to Israel, and shepherd to Israel. Then we come to the next group, and that's the 12 apostles. We're all familiar with the 12 apostles, and as I told you some time ago when we were talking on this, that we never should get or confuse the prophets of old and the apostles, the 12 apostles. The prophets of old and the apostles, with the apostles and the prophets of the church, which is the body of Christ. The prophets of old began away back up. The 12 apostles of the Lamb were chosen by the Lord when he was here on earth. But the apostles and the prophets were not given until the Lord went back to heaven. Then he gave the apostles and the prophets, and the pastors and the teachers, and evangelists. Then he set them in the church. That had nothing in the world to do with the other revelation. Rightly dividing means that we must keep these things separated. Or we just mix up, and there it brings confusion again. Now the 12 apostles, where will they be? They'll be sitting on 12 thrones over yonder in Jerusalem, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, as the Lord said they would do. Matthew 19:28, Luke 22:14-20, and verses 28-30 of Luke 22. There you find how that they're going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel over there. Of course, that's all beside the picture. That might as well be in an almanac as far as the teaching of Christendom runs today, because they've already got Peter, James, and John up there in heaven. Peter opening and shutting the gate every time somebody goes up there. So, all of that thing, beloved. Why? Because they do not listen to God. They have heard somebody say that so-and-so, that Peter is already up there. And there they are. Why, Peter never thought about going to heaven and never will go to heaven. He's going to be right here on the earth, sitting on a throne, ruling one of the tribes of Israel. And that is God's ordained purpose for them. Now then, we pass to the next, the 144,000. We hear this quite often. The 144,000. 7 years ago at Richmond, Virginia. They wouldn't do that down here, of course. I was speaking in a church there. When I got through, I went back to the door to bid goodnight to the folks. And I got in conversation with a group of people. And one said, what is your faith? And she said, I belong to the 144,000. I said, oh. And I looked around to another man standing there. He said, I belong to the 144,000 too, but I don't belong to the same 144,000 she belongs to. I turned around to another woman, and she says, I belong to the 144,000 myself, but I don't belong to either one that they belong to. Now, beloved, you can see just what confusion comes out of things like that. You can't straighten it out. It is just wrapped up and confused, and it's pitiful. It's just distressing to our minds. Now then, beloved, when we look in the scriptures that I told you last year, Elijah must come first, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers, with Israel over there in the land of Palestine. So they'll be separated into their 12 tribes, and the fathers will know their children, and the children will know their father's relationships. Thing is, when they're separated, they begin to generate generations. And they'll generate generations, those 12 tribes of Israel in the land of Palestine, way on down yonder. And when they generate generations on down yonder until about the middle of the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, way down to the end yonder, God one day steps in and he says, get everything quiet here in the land. I'm going to seal the sons. And he does seal. And he seals 12 powerful sons out of each one of the 12 tribes. They're not married. They're male, never married. They're celibates. They're sealed for the purpose of being princes and judges over the nations in the earth during the millennial kingdom. And here we've got them already here. Don't you see? That's the confusion of it. Now, they will be a seal for that. They'll be princes and kings in the earth for ruling and judging the nation. That's the purpose of it. Psalm 145:16, Revelation 7:1-8, Revelation 14:1-5. Now, they're here for that particular purpose of ruling the nations in the earth, judging them as princes, as kings over the nations in the earth. And when God's judgments are in the earth, the nations will learn righteousness. Because they'll be ruling with a rod of iron and breaking them as a potter breaks the vessels of clay. That's the way we're going to learn righteousness under those reins. Now there's going to be ministry down there in the millennial kingdom. And that's why the Church of God was called out. Saved Israel, the bride of the Lamb. that began on the day of Pentecost. They are the priests of Jehovah and the ministers of God in that era down there. Isaiah 61, 5 and 6. And also Zechariah 8, 20-23. Again, John 3, 29. And Revelation 19, 7 and 8. There you find how Israel will be saved and will be the channel through whom God will go out and bless all the nations and families of the earth. Then it is that the great commission the Lord gave just before he sent it back to heaven will have its application in that day in Matthew. He says, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. That's when he comes. Sits on his throne of glory. Then what will he say? Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'll be with you all the days till the end of the age. That is when it will be carried out. That is when this administration and God's revelation of truth will go out to those people, the gospel of God, and bring them the pardon of sins and the blessing of salvation to enjoy the glory of that kingdom throughout the millennial age, as we call it. And they will enter and go to the end of the earth with this message down there. Remember this. I have said this in the lesson studies that you have in your preparation, in your hands now. There will be no grace preached in the millennial kingdom. It all reverts back to the gospel of God with pardon or remission of sins under that program that is to be fulfilled down there. But there will be the people for his name, the Gentiles who have come in under the gospel of God, as we find in Acts 15, 13 and 14, also Isaiah 56, 1 to 8, and Isaiah 61, 4 and 6, the Gentiles will go in there to rejoice with his people in the kingdom who are saved during this time and during Paul's time and so on under the gospel of God. They'll go in there to rejoice with God's people in the kingdom. The idea of going to heaven was not in the picture. That's been injected since that time. And so they have their allotment in that. Now there's another calling. That's the justified sons of Abraham. How little has been said about that. In Galatians 3, 5 and 9, 14, 25 and 29, you have that wonderful revelation. And Romans 4, 1 to 25. These are the justified sons of Abraham. What are they for? The ecclesias of the nations. And they will be right in the millennial kingdom as the glorified sons of God. What for? To demonstrate to the people, the Gentile people of that day who are being saved under the gospel of God and the priesthood reign of Israel. They will be there as the glorified sons of God to demonstrate to them what they will be over in the new earth in the dispensation of the fullness of time. They are there as the object lesson. They are there to display God's wonderful grace, not through works of righteousness and through ordinances and all of those things, but by faith, as Abraham believed, that Abraham's justified sons and joy of the lover of the world, they can walk through the earth in that day as the justified sons of Abraham, the glorified sons of God, and feel free to go anywhere, any place. They're not under any kingdom rule whatsoever. They are in the family of God, sons of God, free through the riches of his grace to demonstrate what the nations of the world will enjoy over in the new earth, beyond the millennium, beyond the great white throne judgment, when the nations there will enter into the glorious realm of righteousness. You remember how Peter said that? Says the heavens will pass away with a booming noise, and the earth and its works therein shall be found. But we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. Wherein righteousness dwells, a great new realm in which righteousness dwells. See that? That is where all Abraham's justified sons will come in through grace. And all the nations will become the justified sons of Abraham and the glorified sons of God. by faith. And they will become God's people, and He will become their God, and He will tabernacle among them, with them, and He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. That we're going to be talking about next Sunday, and bringing that to a conclusion. Now then, there's just one other thought, and I will not attempt to elaborate on that or explain further than that the church, which is the body of Christ, the church, which is the body of Christ, the secret, wherein God called out Jew, Gentile, made them a joint body, a new humanity, a spiritual humanity, to live up yonder in heaven with Christ. They are an elect company, a select company. They are His cabinet and His confidence, by which all in all is to be complete. And they're to be seated with Him above every sovereignty, authority, power, and dominion, every name that's named. And they are to officiate and reveal God's great love, His multifarious wisdom, until all are reconciled through the peace made in the blood of the cross of the Son of His love. That's what He tells us. And Paul says, by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. The gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. And He not only says that, He said, in the ages to come, He may show forth, display the transcendent, the exceeding riches, the immeasurable riches of His grace in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Through the church, God is going to show forth the transcendent riches of His grace to the whole universe until all come in through the wonderful love and grace of God by faith. But until that time is reached, God has other means and methods, and men have to go through all of those before they ready and learn and to know and understand and appreciate God and can come in to the fullness of His loving kindness and gracious blessings in Christ His Son. But eventually, they will all be brought back because God has a secret in His heart. And that is to have an administration for giving history its fulfillment. When He can become all in all, reconciled in perfect peace and harmony, and He will be everything in everyone. What a glorious goal to think about. But beloved, I trust that I have now pictured for you in some measure, helpfully, about the kingdom, what it means here on earth, where people pray, and that will someday be true, fulfilled. Our Father who art in the heavens, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, on earth also. That's the kingdom that's coming here, which God's will is going to be done here on this earth, as it is done in heaven. And the people that He taught to pray that prayer never thought about going to heaven. They thought about going into that kingdom and enjoying that blessing. And that blessing is coming one day, as I read for you in Psalm 72. Read it and reread it. Meditate upon it. And thank God for that glorious purpose that God has decreed and ordained for that time, but thank Him especially for the riches of His grace that He has graced you with. God bless you. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this morning together. We pray Thy rich blessing upon each one. May they go away strengthened, rejoiced in their hearts, and may Thy love, Thy peace, fill their hearts all their days. Use them, our God and Father, to the praise of Thy glory. And all thanks and praise be unto Thee in the blessed name of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, our life and head. Amen and amen.